Proverbs chapter 1. I want to read you several scriptures, and then, so it won't be too tedious, tell you about other scriptures. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 6. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. These three words are those that define a proverb. A hiva or a mashal. These two words are used concerning this kind of speech. A proverb, a figure, dark saying. Now, John chapter 16. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in, and here is that word I told you about, paroimia, and it's translated variably in John's Gospel, parable, proverb, but here it's consistently translated in this portion. These things have I spoken unto you in dark sayings. The hour cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in dark sayings, but shall tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came out from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go unto the Father. Here is a plain saying. The other things I will bring to your attention are dark sayings or proverbs. And when Christ speaks, verse 28, this is what his disciples say in verse 29. Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no dark saying. Now know we that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask you. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Now, Father, we're so thankful for the books that tell us of the life of Christ. There is nothing like it, our God. Let us know how large a book it could be. Heaven itself could not contain all the things if everything was written. But our Father, the time is coming when in heaven we shall have that opportunity to hear about all things that are written. And thou dost tell us, now, even now, we see in a glass darkly, but then face to face. And our Father, with all the light that you've given us in the four Gospels, still, your Son himself said, dark sayings, proverbs. And so we thank you, Father, for what light thou hast given, and we are thankful for the additional light that has been given. And our Father, as we look into thy word, we thank you that we have an unction, an anointing, the Holy Spirit of God, who teaches us. So as the disciples were promised to be guided into all truth by that Holy Spirit, so may we be guided into all truth as well. Now, with additional information, illumination, let us go back now and look over these parables and these proverbs, these dark sayings, these comparisons, our God, and understand them better and appreciate more the wisdom that was so little appreciated and understood in the days of Christ's flesh. We desire this blessing of thee tonight. We thank you for what you've done for us this day, and we pray, our Father, that all things that have been displeasing to thee, as you promised that if we confess our sins, you shall be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, grant that fulfillment, our God, and bless us this night, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I believe that I finally have the parables and the proverbs of Christ in the Gospels in the final order that I'm going to leave them in. I told you at first I started out with 30 parables that Trench gave, and I thought, well, certainly he spoke more than 30 parables. And then I went to 51 parables, and then I increased the number until finally, the last count, and I believe that it will be sufficient, I have 70 parables that Christ spoke in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But what I've done is to take all the proverbs that Christ spoke in the Gospel of John and put them in a different column. And what happens is this. The first time in the list that I gave you, I believe that I included 3 of the proverbs among the parables. But what I did was this. Take all the proverbs in John's Gospel and put them on the right column, and all the parables of our Savior in the left column, and this is the final count, 70 parables and 13 proverbs. I read you from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 6, to show you that when God is speaking to man, he himself does not pinpoint the way that he speaks to man. He says, proverbs, dark sayings, parables. There are various ways that God speaks to man in the Old Testament. And I could have read you from Numbers chapter 12, a startling statement, when Aaron and Miriam criticized their brother Moses for his behavior, and God came and rebuked them. And he spoke of the way that he would reveal himself to ordinary prophets and those with whom he communed. But he said, I am not speaking to Moses in dark sayings. I'm speaking to Moses mouth to mouth. So evidently, in the case of Moses, what Christ said, he in the future would speak to his disciples. God at that time spoke to Moses, as it says, mouth to mouth. Which brings us to this. Our Savior in Matthew chapter 13 tells us that the parables he spoke there, he spoke to cloud the minds of those whose hearts were hardened. But he did not speak parables to cloud the minds of his own disciples. And yet what he tells us in John 16 is that the way he had been speaking to them, even his own disciples, whose hearts were not hardened, but were open and were desirous to learn, he said, I have spoken to you in dark sayings. He said, but after this, I'm going to speak to you plainly. And here is a most excellent illustration. I will tell you about the proverbs that Christ spoke in John's Gospel, but having spoken of them as proverbs or dark sayings, then the Lord Jesus says, now, let me speak this way. I came out from the Father into the world. Yes, again, I leave the world and go back to the Father. They said, why, of course, we understand it now. Well, would you please tell me why, if it is so clear, the Lord Jesus did not speak to them all through his ministry that way? And I do not have the answer. But he tells us that So evidently, all along, when he spoke to them, there was something in reserve, but at this point, he said, I'm going to speak plainly. So what you have to do is to compare the parables and the proverbs of Christ, and then the one time that he told about coming out from the Father into the world and going back, and that is plain talk, and the other is parabolic talk or proverbial talk. I wanted to tell you that much. So what I've done is to look at a parable and compare it with a proverb, and if you're going to make any distinction, I told you and showed you from Proverbs 1:6 that these three things, even in the Bible, are put together and are spoken of in the same way. It would seem that a proverb is deeper than a parable, and it is more compressed, and when it's spoken, you have to think more to interpret it than you do a parable. I suggest that, because there is a distinction made, and the Savior makes that distinction, and it's translated, a proverb is a dark saying, but not a parable. So here is a proverb, and it means something that is a comparison. And so if we're speaking of what Christ spoke in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we call it parables. And what he spoke in John, we call it proverbs. But if we want to combine them both, we can say that Christ spoke in comparisons, some clearer than others, and the proverbs being the dark sayings. And so we can make those distinctions. What I found in comparing the proverbs with the parables is this, that since there are 70, they involve a wider range of thought and comparisons than you have in the 13 proverbs that I've chosen from the Gospel of John. Wider, but this was the thing that was most startling. If I tell you of these 13 proverbs in John's Gospel, almost and perhaps every proverb involves Christ. But in the proverbs, ever so many of the, rather, and the parables, ever so many of the parables in contrast to the proverbs do not involve Christ at all. Let me give you an example of a parable that does not have anything to do with Christ. Think, you say, well, what is a parable that doesn't have Christ in it? It says this. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You're saying that doesn't have anything to do with Christ. That's true. And he says, there is the parable of the lost coin. And that doesn't have anything to do with Christ. And you go through and you find this. Now from the parable, from the fig tree, learn her parable. You say the fig tree, why? So when you look at the parables, you can look at them and find ever so many parables that do not involve Christ. But when you look at the proverbs in John's Gospel, perhaps one, but in all the others, Christ is involved. Now, in the parables, many times he is involved. Like this, when it says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a sower who went forth to sow seed in his field. The kingdom of heaven is like unto one who sowed good seed in his field, and an enemy came and sowed tares. The man who is sowing the seed is the Lord Jesus Christ. When it says, the kingdom of God is like unto a certain nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Who is that nobleman? You say that's Christ. So in ever so many of the parables, you find Christ involved. He speaks of other things, but he speaks of himself as well. When it says the sower went forth to sow, that's Christ. But then you have the wayside, you have the rocky ground, you have the good ground, you have the different crops that are produced, but Christ is involved in that parable. Also, when this Savior, this Lord, takes his possessions and gives them to his servants, then the parable is about the servants and what they do, but the one who gives the possessions is the Lord Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind. But when we come to the Proverbs in the Gospel of John, almost all of them involve Christ, and that most fully. So what I will do first is to tell you the chapters in which they are found, and then tell you as they come to mind a little bit about them. In John chapter 1, Christ speaks about a ladder from earth to heaven. In chapter 2, the Lord Jesus speaks about, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up. In John 3, the Lord Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In John chapter 4, he speaks about the living water. In John chapter 6, he speaks about the bread of God from heaven, the living bread. In John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10, he speaks of himself as the door and as the good shepherd. In chapter 12, the Lord Jesus says, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. In chapter 14, the Lord Jesus is the preparer in the Father's house, a place for us that has many mansions. In chapter 15, the Lord Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And this one may not, and yet it may at the same time be Christ. It says in John 16, it says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more her anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. You say, a man born into the world, all sorrow gone, joy. Of course, we see Christ in that, but it's something else. But another thing, now that I've told you what they are, and as time allows, I'll tell you a little bit about them, because each one is a study in itself. But the first thing I find is this. Why, with such precious words that Christ spoke in his ministry on earth, Matthew, who heard him speak these words, why did Matthew not record one of the proverbs that is found in the Gospel of John? I think if I had a chance to give sermons and I could choose from all of them, why, I certainly would take a sermon equal to that that's found in the Proverbs in the Gospel of John. But neither Matthew, Mark, nor Luke uses one proverb that is given in the Gospel of John. And at the same time, the parables in Matthew, Mark, and Luke are so excellent, why would not John take some of those parables, a few of them, and put them in his gospel? And I'm not able to tell you. I only know that God causes his authors of scripture to be selective, and of all things, what you should find in John's gospel, you do not find, and what you should find in Matthew's gospel, you do find or do not find, like this. When our Savior went to the Mount of Transfiguration, who were the three he took? You say he took Peter, James, and John. John was the only one who was with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Tell me where you find the Mount of Transfiguration in the Gospel of John. You don't find it. I cannot conceive of such a thing. So no one is able to figure out the minds and the workings of those who wrote the Gospels. All of those who are wise and prudent in their own eyes will tell you. They tried to tell you that Matthew took from Mark and that Mark, and then they go on and tell you that John was written at a much later date by someone that wasn't John at all. The truth of the matter is that they do not understand how these Gospels came to us, but you and I do, because the Savior said in the Gospel of John that the Spirit would bring to their remembrance all things that He said unto them. And what He chose to bring to remembrance in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, He brought that to their remembrance. And what He chose to bring to John's remembrance, He brought to his remembrance. And I've shown you from Mark 4 and also from John 20 that all of the Gospels are selective. This is what it says in Mark concerning the parables. It says, "Many other parables spake Jesus, and without a parable spake he not unto them." He's telling you, he spoke many other parables, but I'm only going to give you two parables. But Matthew chooses eight of those parables, and then we go to Mark and to Luke, and we find two more of those parables he spoke on the same day, and we put them all together. And why he did it, I do not know. Of all the miracles that Christ performed, John goes through and he picks seven, and then he picks an eighth miracle, and he gives us those. And it says, "Many other signs truly did Jesus, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe." So there is a purpose, a design behind all the Gospels, known to the authors of the Gospels and known to the Spirit of God. But you and I will search, and we may find out a little bit about it. But please be humble and accept the Gospels as they are, and let them sit in judgment on you, and do not sit in judgment upon them as if this Gospel by John could have been improved and this one by Matthew. They could not have been improved in the least. Every word of God is pure, every jot and tittle precisely as God would have it. So it is with the parables, and so it is with the Proverbs. And we go through it, and we have to study it. Now, this is what I find about the parables. Many of them are taken from incidents of life. The Lord Jesus said, "Salt that's lost its savor." He spoke about lamps, and nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel or under a bed. The Lord Jesus Christ talks about trees. The Lord Jesus talks about debtors. The Lord Jesus talks about those that are crooked in their dealings with their masters, the unrighteous steward. He talks about the unjust judge. You see, when the Savior speaks the parables, he takes incidents from life and talks about them. But now let's think a moment about the Proverbs. When our Savior in John 1 speaks about this ladder set up upon earth that reaches to heaven, what do you think of? You say, "Why, that's found in Genesis 28. Why, of course it is. And when Christ speaks about this temple, you say, "Why, there was a temple, and before that there was a tabernacle, and then there was Herod's temple." Yes. All of these things are the Old Testament. John 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, you say, "Why, he's taken this proverb from the Old Testament again." And when you offer the sacrifices, they have to be offered over living or running water. In John chapter 6, when the Savior said, "I am the bread of God that came down from heaven," where did it come from? You say, "Why, well, that is Exodus chapter 16. Of course it is. You see the difference? In the parables, the Lord Jesus looks over all creation, looks over the incidents of life in his experience, in man's experience. But in almost all the Proverbs, he looks at something in the Old Testament and he takes that and uses it as a figure, which will now allow me to tell you how God himself illustrates the word parable in its most general sense from Hebrews 11. We've heard of types and figures, but when it says in Hebrews chapter 11 that when Abraham offered his son Isaac, he was told to slay his son, and it said in essence, it said in a figure in our Bibles, he did receive him back from the dead. And that word figure is the word in a parable, which means that parables are not only words spoken up concerning incidents of life, events of life, but they are historical things that occur, as it says in 1 Corinthians 10. It says, now all these things happened unto them by way of types, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. And so you have incidents in history, the history of Israel, and it says they were typical, but it is called a parable in Hebrews chapter 11. So, what Christ has done is to take something like that, an incident that happened in the Old Testament, and he brings it over to the New, and almost all of those incidents involve him. Tell me, when the people were thirsty, where did the water come from? You say the smitten rock. And who was the rock? You say the rock was Christ. Yes, and that's why he has that living water to give. Let me tell you this. When Christ says, I am the light of the world, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Where does that come from? Why, the book of Exodus. It says that when Israel went forth, God led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He was the light wherever they went, by day and by night. You go through the scriptures and you find that the Lord Jesus sees himself in these proverbs that he speaks. And what we saw in the Old Testament, we find it fulfilled in Christ in the New Testament. And therefore, he did not have to use the parables that Matthew, Mark, and Luke did, but what he does is to look at the historical episodes in the Old Testament, and he finds himself in these episodes, and then he speaks these proverbs, and these are the ones that John gives us. So what is the difference in a parable and a proverb? Almost every proverb contains Christ, and it is more difficult to understand. So difficult is it to understand that it is not only called a dark saying in John's Gospel, but in John chapter 6, when he's speaking, the things that he says become deeper and deeper, and they say, this is a hard saying. Who can receive it? And finally, when the Lord Jesus speaks in finality, he does not lessen what he's telling them, but he increases the deepness of it. It says, upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So if you say, well, today, I want to look at figures of speech, comparisons that have to do with Christ and the history of the children of Israel in the Old Testament, then turn to the Gospel of John. But at the same time, if you say, I want to learn about the ordinary things of life, I want to learn about nature, I want to learn about man and his dealings with his fellow man, then all you have to do is to turn to Matthew, Mark, and Luke and read the parables. So what we've had in these two Sundays that I've been here is a presentation to you of the parables and of the proverbs. And I hope that your appetite has been whetted, and by God's grace, you'll know them better when I come back again in his will. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the one that you sent from heaven, and we are thankful for the abundance of truth and light that we have in him. Our God, we can look at him and consider his life as it's found in Genesis and in Exodus and in so many books of the Old Testament. We are thankful as it says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Our Father, we are thankful that we can see Christ in all the Scriptures, and while there is so much of Christ in everything from Genesis to Malachi, to we are thankful, our God, that your Son opened unto them all things that pertain to him in all the Scriptures. And so, our God, in all of these things he has chosen for us, these 13 things in John's Gospel, and abundance of things from the old and from the incidents of life in the new, and they've been set before our eyes. And so let us consider these things. Let us search the Scriptures. Let us be like the Bereans. Go home and consider what Christ said. And our Father, we will believe and we will be built up in our most holy faith. Help us as we study the parables and the proverbs of Christ. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.